song to be sung right before the message because I think that's where it belonged. Amen? I think in this world that we live in, we live in a fast food world. We want everything right now. Forget about waiting for anything. Forget about working for anything. Forget about having... Should I say it? Patience. Whew. We want it when we want it. We want it right now. And God just simply says, have patience. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. It's kind of hard to hear God when we're so busy in the hustle and the bustle of today's world, when we're running back and forth, to and fro, when we're trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing. I'm not saying that we get all tied up in bad things, but sometimes we're so tied up in doing good things that we ain't got time for God, amen? Let alone not time for Him, we don't have time to hear His voice. Because we're all hung up doing this, doing that. Do you know what the hardest word there is for a Christian to say? The hardest word for a Christian is no. No. I have realized over the years that you can't do everything. Amen? Sometimes we have to sit back. Sometimes we have to put our feet on the couch. Sometimes we have to possibly close our eyes and listen to that still, small voice. Because there comes a time when our batteries run out. All of us aren't like that little pink rabbit that goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. See, they never show you that rabbit actually collapses sometimes. Amen. They don't show you that. But that's how we try to be sometimes. We just keep going and going and going and going. And pretty soon you're no good. Because you have no energy. You've revitalized. Let me tell you just a quick story about a man that did just... Well, he did good for the Lord. Amen. His name was Elijah. He thought he'd have him a little party one day. There's going to be a little contest. And Elijah gathered on the opposite side, and across from him was all of Baal's prophets. They had a little contest. Elijah said, well, let's see if this is... Let's see whose God is the best. Let's see whose God is the real God. Let's see whose God is the strong God. After all, there's so many of you and you have so many gods to choose from. Amen? You have so many gods to choose from, but I only have one. Let's have a contest between your God and my God. So, they get a couple of altars. They pile an offering up on the altar. And he says, call upon your God and see if he can bring fire upon this. So all the prophets gather round, get in a nice circle and start praying. Yabba dabba dabba, yabba dabba dabba. And nothing happens. So I think I kind of like Elijah. Okay? Because I think he was a sporting man. I think he was a sporting man. And I think he liked to have a little bit of fun. Because Scripture says, he called, he says, prophets, maybe you need to speak a little bit louder. Maybe your God's taking a nap. He says that. That's in Scripture. Maybe he's taking a nap. Oh, I probably would have said that too. I mean, that's what I like about him. But he calls upon them and they, wow. Nothing happens. They tried and they called and they yelled and did their little war dances or whatever it is they do, and nothing happened. And Elijah finally says, well, must be my turn at last. But just to make it even, I want you to pour water on the offering. Soak it down. There was so much water that was poured on this offering that there was a big puddle of water still left there. There was so much poured on. I'm not talking about just a couple of drops. It was poured on. So Elijah says, let me call upon my God. And he called upon God. And he praised Him. And he asked Him. And Scripture says, God brought down lightning and lit the fire. And not only did it, was there a little bit of fire, just a little sparkle, but there was so much fire that it consumed the offering. Dried up every single bit of the offering. That's the God we serve. And then after that was happened, they said, well, y'all lose. Guess what? Now y'all get slain. And they slew all of the prophets of Baal. That was a long day for Elijah. Amen? That was a long day. And the story stops there. And when the story picks up, you read about Elijah receiving a message. Receiving a message from Baal's wife. Saying, what you did to my prophets, that I will also do to you before this day is over. Now, I'm going to have to say, I think Elijah must have been pretty well exhausted and tired. So what did he do? What any normal man would do if he's being threatened by a woman. He ran! And ran! And ran! And he ran as fast as he could. And ended up in an orchard. Just totally exhausted. And God sending for birds. And sending food from the birds. And he started to get his strength back. And then he went farther in his journey. And he's all by himself and ends up in a cave. And this is just a short time afterwards. He's in a cave all by himself. And he's singing that great Christian song again. Woe is me, gloom, despair, agony for all. I am the only one serving the Lord. All these other people in this journey. Wow. We're talking about a short period of time. He was on top of the world. He was on top of the world with God bringing down fire, destroying what Satan had set up, destroying it. And now he's in a cave all by himself, singing the song of misery. Don't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. Why? God sends him and tells him. He says, Lord, send me a sign. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. And he listened. And there was a great earthquake. And he listened. He couldn't hear God. There was a thunder, lightning storm, big storm. Still, God didn't answer. A little while later, there was this real soft voice. Scripture calls it, in the King James Version, calls it a still, small voice. There was a little whisper. And Scripture says, God isn't always in the earth shaking. He's not always in the thunder. Not always in the lightning. Sometimes we have to get ourselves in a position where we can hear that still, small voice. Amen? That little voice that God has to say to us. We get so wrapped up in trying to accomplish and do everything that the world is doing. We get so tied up in ministries that we have no time to rejuvenate ourselves. Amen? We just go, 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 go. Elijah is a prime example of running out of gas. And when you run out of gas, I'm here to tell you today that Satan has you right where he wants you. Satan couldn't stop what God did for Elijah in the beginning there. He couldn't stop him. But, if Satan can get you in a position where you're tired, where you're weak, where your body is physically drained, your mind gets drained before your body does, amen? And when your mind is tired, Satan has a feast. Amen? Satan has... Anyone believe what I'm saying? When you get tired, when you do not fresh, when you refresh, and when you do not take care of yourself, I'm here to tell you today that you are the perfect tool for Satan to use. Amen? The man that had brought down lightning, the man that had destroyed hundreds and hundreds of prophets, is now alone in the cave singing, "Woe is me." Why? Why? Because he didn't have the strength that he needed. Sometimes we need to stop. Sometimes we need to simply say no. Amen. I think one of the president's wives a few years ago was using the phrase, "Just say no." It was in a different context, but the idea is there. Sometimes we have to stop, and sometimes we have to think about ourselves, and sometimes we have to refresh, rebuild, and like the army would say, and reload. Amen? Sometimes we need to stop, refresh, rebuild, and reload. We need to reload the strength back inside us. Amen? And we can't do that if we're go, 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 go. How do we get this to fight the daily battles? Wow. You can't stay up all night. You can't stay up all night doing this and that and expect to be bright-eyed and push your tail the next morning. Amen? You've got to get your physical rest. You have to. Now, when I was 19 years old, when I was 30 years old, I was a warrant officer in the Army. We would have what they called RTEFs, Army Training and Evaluation Exercises. And I remember one time I was telling my colonel, I said, "My crew, I'm short on my crew. We can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this because I just don't physically have the bodies." He says, "Oh, Chief, you're all right." He says, "Because I know you can go 96 hours. And I could. But at the end of 96 hours, my body would... Ask my honey when I would come home from some of the field exercises. I would be drained. I would be dead to the world. And I wasn't worth anything. Amen? You have to get physical rest. Not only do you have to get physical rest if you plan on being in the battle, you got to eat something. You got to eat something. How many people like jelly beans? Oh, no, some of y'all ain't telling the truth. How many of y'all like jelly beans? Amen. Well, one thing I have found out... Yeah, I see some smiling faces. Someone was wiping their chin just at the mention of jelly beans. But you see, the thing is, you can't live on jelly beans alone. Amen. You just can't... Oh, they're good. I've tried. They're good. Yeah. But you can't eat on them. You got to get good sustenance in you. You got to get some good nutrition food. You know, you got to get some bacon. Got to get some grease. You know, to... Oh, yeah, biscuits and gravy. Yeah, you're a good old Southern gal, ain't you? You must have been born in the southern part of California. Amen. Yeah, but you got to have good balanced food inside you, so your body got to have it. Okay? Now, those two are physical things that you need. You need good rest and you need good food. Can't eat tater chips and bonbons all the time. I like too. That's a different sermon though. Those two are two of the physical things that you can do. Now one of the most important that goes with those other two is you've got to get something to give you spiritual strength. Amen. You've got to have the spiritual strength. And if you don't have the spiritual strength, guess what? The battle is almost lost. Amen. You can be as strong as the rock. Anyone knows who the rock is, huh? Yeah. You can be as strong as the rock and get put out in the first round. Why? Because you've got to have the spiritual strength. How am I going to get the spiritual strength? One is showing up to church on Sunday. Amen. Show up to church and be around God's people. Listen to the Word of God. If you habitually go to a church that doesn't use and preach and teach God's Word, find another church. Amen? Because the strongest weapon you have to defeat Satan in his attacks is God's Word. You need to receive God's Word at church. Amen? Now, that's all you need. Just the Word for an hour on Sunday, right? Doesn't work. It doesn't work because the pastor cannot stand up here for an hour, or in some cases an hour and a half or 2 hours. You can't stand up in front of a congregation that long and expect to give them everything they need. Amen? You're not going to get what you need. You have got to involve yourself in Bible study. That's either with other people or by yourself. Other people's always great because you get different insights and you get a different understanding of God's Word. Because see, that's where the real strength comes from, is God's Word. And if you want to fight, if you want to have a fight with the devil, try doing some Bible study. Try doing some Bible study. And I'm here to tell you today, if you plan on going to Bible study, your car's going to run out of gas. Supper's going to burn. If you have kids, they're going to need diapers changed before you can go. What can go wrong, will go wrong if you're planning on going and studying God's Word. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to have family members call you 5 minutes before Bible study and they ain't called you in 4 years. That's a fact. It happens all the time. Because Satan, start with, we know that toothpaste only runs out on Sunday morning, right? We know that. You can't go to church without toothpaste and deodorant. So it runs out on Sunday morning. Satan tries to keep you from coming to church on Sunday morning. And there's a lot of reasons why. Well, he got a whole bunch of tricks on that. Because he doesn't want you here to receive this word. And it's even worse when you try to go to a Bible study. Amen? If you try to go to a Bible study, everything in the world is going to go wrong. Because you see, Satan, to change a little bit of thinking, Satan is in fact not an idiot. Okay? He's really not an idiot. He ain't very wise, but he's not an idiot. He realizes that your strength comes from God's Word. And if he can stop you from getting that Powerade, which is God's Word, if he can stop you from getting God's Word, he's going to do every single thing he can. Amen? He's going to do what he can to stop you, stop God's Word from getting into you. If he's got to flatten your tire, if he's got to delay it, if he's got to have traffic jams. Yeah, there have been traffic jams in Amargosa. But yeah, we just drive around it. Excuse me? Oh, I forgot about water pipes. Yeah. Water pipes freeze up in the middle of summer. Don't figure. But Satan is going to pull out every single stop he can to keep you from getting into God's Word. Amen. He tries to keep you from coming to church on Sunday. Tries to keep you from fellowshipping with God's people. Do you know there is strength in numbers? There's strength in numbers. God's Word says that if a two-cord rope can beat 10, then how much stronger is a three-corded rope? Translation being, there's strength in numbers. Amen? If I've got two or three people that I study God's Word with, there's strength there. There's understanding there. Because I have found out through Bible study that Cliff don't think like me. And Buck surely don't think like me. Amen? And I don't think like nobody. But then we can read the same Scripture and get three different concepts and ideal standing. Well then, you mean the Scripture is that vague? No. God gives you exactly what you need when you need it. Amen? I have read Scripture. I remember, oh my goodness, this was been in 03 or 04. I remember we were having a men's Bible study. And I remember Buck, I remember Brother Buck there, taking his Bible and laying it down. His jaw fell open. He was in awe. I said, what's the matter? I thought he was having a heart attack. I said, what's the matter, Buck? He says, I've read that 100 times, but I have never seen that word in there before. So I tried to lighten. I said, well, yeah, I just took your Bible and wrote it in. But you see, he suddenly saw a word that he had never seen before. Even though he had read it and read it and read it. It had to take that time for his mind to be opened up. And that Scripture had a whole new meaning. A whole new meaning. Right now, one of our studies, the men we're studying three different books right now. I call it potluck. I call it potluck. Each of the men do their own studying. And when we gather for study, we rotate it each week to someone, and you present what God has given you. One of the books we're studying is Amos. God laid that on me, and I'm teaching Amos. Another book that we're studying is the book of Hebrews. God placed it on another individual to teach Hebrews. And then someone decided they're going to do 1 Samuel. Didn't realize how big that was. But you see, that's why I call it potluck, because it's the table and you glean from it what God wants you to have. Now, I wouldn't be studying 1 Samuel right now. It's been years since I studied 1 Samuel. If one of the other brothers wasn't bringing 1 Samuel to us, amen? But I'm being enlightened by 1 Samuel. It's been a long time since I'm not talking about reading it. There's a difference in reading and studying. Okay? A lot of people read God's Word, but they don't study God's Word. I'm not going to say worst thing, but one of the things you can do to not to get what God wants you is pick it up like a reading book and just start reading. First thing you ought to do when you pick up God's Bible, pray. Lord, open my eyes, open my mind, open my heart. Show me what you want me to have tonight. And you're going to find out that He's going to show you all kinds of little nuggets. Amen? Lots and lots and lots of little nuggets on stuff that you just didn't know. I remember, and I know I've shared this before, and I'll probably share it a few thousand more times, but I remember, though, that I had basically my whole business that I had been robbed from me, stolen from me, taken from me. And I just bought a brand new house with some nice payments on it. And I wake up at 2:00 in the morning, might have been 3:00, but I wake up and I go sit in my chair and says, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And I reached over, I picked up my Bible. And in less than a minute of picking up my Bible, I came across the scripture, kind of jumped out of the page at me. I'd read it 100 times. Just didn't have any meaning until that very night. Scripture I came up to was Matthew 6, verse 33. Wow. Oh, ye of little faith, don't I take care of the birds who harvest not? Worry all you want, can't grow. And then it goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff shall be added unto you. Whoa! Whoa! I almost fell out of the chair. God told me, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, I got it under control. Seek ye first Him. And from that time until this very day, I've never worried about stuff. Amen. I don't worry about stuff. Because why? Because God's got it under control. I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have been praying and asking God to show me. Because I had read the Scripture. I'd read the Scripture. But I wasn't living the Scripture because I didn't know. But God opened up my eyes and showed me a whole new meaning to a Scripture. I encourage you, when you go to read God's Word and study God's Word, pray first. Pray first. Lord, show me what it is you would have me to have. Wow. And God will show you stuff that's unbelievable. If He shows you stuff, He's going to give you the strength to fight those battles, the times when you pardon me, when you've slept enough, you've eaten enough, but you're still weak because your soul is down. God's Word nourishes your soul. God's Word gives you strength, supernatural strength. Supernatural strength. Did y'all get that? Supernatural strength comes from God's Word. And then when Satan gets you all alone in a corner somewhere, you can stand on God's Word. Amen? By faith. By faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen? Through faith. The faith is what makes what glues everything together. Faith. I know God can do it. But I have to have the faith that if He said it, He will do it. Amen? And you don't get that unless you get the Word impounded inside you. Inside you. You got to get God's Word. Get it in. Get it in there. Amen? God's Word. The worst thing you can do is go into battle and run out of fuel. Amen? And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I said, go to Bible studies. Go to church. Right? Go to Bible studies. Get involved in a Bible study. What is a Bible study? Bible studies, a couple people getting together and reading God's Word and discussing it. But we ain't got no theologians. It's like God's Word is made so easy you don't need theologians. Amen? You don't need theologians. But theologians can learn if they pick it up and read it. Amen? You don't have to be a theologian. Get a couple of people together that are willing to sit down and read God's Word. And sometimes I sit there and go, what's that mean? And you get a couple of concepts into it, and you get God's Word, and you ask the Spirit, what does that mean? And the Spirit of God will tell you what God's Word means. Amen? It's important. Go to church. Study God's Word. Pray upon God's Word. Live God's Word. And you're going to be in a position that Satan despises. You're going to be in a position of authority and in a position of strength. Amen? Amen. How do you ward off the devil? How do you ward off the attacks from Satan? Lady in the corner. Yes, ma'am. How do you ward off the attacks of Satan?
Praise.
Woo! Now that's a whole different subject. Praise. What is praise? How do I pray? Huh? I did, but the wall started shaking. How do I praise? How do I praise? How do I praise? There's a million different ways to praise God. Amen? Sometimes it's with the voice. Singing like the voices of praise. Singing together. Sometimes it just might be in the shower. When the dogs get the howling, I normally quit in the shower. But just sing songs of God. You can even make them up. How about, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for me. Thank you for not making it worse. Amen? Is that a praise? Yes, it is. Because if God ain't there, it could be an awful lot worse. Amen? You think things are bad now? Remove God from your life totally. Remove God from your life totally. And then you're going to see just how bad things can be. Amen? It can really get bad. Praise God. God is good. God is great. Sometimes we need to set back, take it easy, bask and think of the things of the Lord. Be still and know that He is God. Amen. Fast-paced life is all right for a period. But we need to slow down, refresh, rebuild, and reload. And we get the bullets that we need from God's Word. Gives us the strength to ward off the devil. How do we defeat Satan? James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. must flee. Got no choice. But you submit yourself to God. Simply say no. And he has to leave. Amen? Now, sometimes he's a little deaf. Amen? Sometimes Satan is a little deaf when you tell him to leave. He wants out and hang on. And you may have to tell him 2 or 3 times. But if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he has no choice but to leave. Amen? I want to share one set of scriptures with you. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it to you. I might. We'll see. Sometimes I've been known to change my mind. You're probably going to get this scripture several times before the next few weeks are over with. Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Any version that you want. Chapter 53. Y'all gonna have to excuse me during this because very seldom can I make it all the way through without getting a little bit drippy-eyed. Must be my allergies. Isaiah 53 comes just a couple of books after Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah 53. I'm going to begin on verse 1. The reason I'm bringing this up is celebrating this time of year. All about Jesus. Amen? Who hath believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not deem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. neither was any deceit in his mouth. 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for their transgressions. Wow. Jesus Christ, our propitiation for our sins, the price that's paid for you and for me. By His stripes, that's where we get our healing from. Amen. He paid for the healing. God's Son, Jesus Christ, paid for all of the healings. And He carried our sins upon the cross. I'm going to share one healing with you. Years ago, Sister Honey went to the doctor. They x-rayed her back. And says, "My dear sweetie, you have degenerative disc disease. And you will probably be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. He had physical proof. Her back was shot. She came home. We went to church. We came home from church. She laid down on the bed to rest. Laid my hands in the middle of her back. This is not about me. All right? Laid my hands in the middle of her back and we prayed together. And before those prayers were over, she had such a burning in her back and didn't know what it was. Her back was burning. And when I lifted my hands off of her back, the burning stopped. We went back to church that evening because we had two services on Sunday. And she says, I feel strange. Something wrong with my back. There's no pain in it. A few weeks later, she went back to the doctor. He re-x-rayed her back and looked, compared the first set of x-rays with the second set of x-rays. And he says, "I don't know what's happened, but the discs are healed." And she smiled. And she says, "I know what happened. My God fixed it." And I'm here to tell you today, that was almost 15 years ago. And to this very day, she's never had a pain in her lower back. Amen? God took care of it. Does God take care of illnesses and ailments? No. But this one thing I know, God fixed her. God fixed her. Why? Because she had the faith. Why did He fix her? Because He wanted to. Amen? He wanted to. Paul said, as we studied and we read last week, I find myself, no matter what condition I'm in, to be there satisfied. Amen? But God did not heal Paul of the thorn he had in his side. Amen? Whatever that was. But He decided to heal my sister, honey. God can. Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda. Sister Patty Sue. To look at. You might want to show it to you. It's about a young man that evangelizes for God, that reaches out to the world, sharing his story with God. You say, well, that's not so uncommon. It happens to lots of people do that, amen? Legs! And he ain't got no arms. And all that you hear come out of his mouth, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatsoever condition we're in. Wow. God paid a lot. Stand with me, please. If you get nothing else out of the message today, I want you to remember one thing. God isn't always in the hoopla. He's not always in the thunder, the lightning, the earth shaking. Many times God is in that still, small voice. And we need to stand still and know that He's God. Amen? Stand still and know He's God. Seek His voice. Seek His directions. You'll get the strength that you need. In God's time. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Precious Father, we thank You, we praise You, and we do love You with every bit of our heart, body, mind, and soul. And Father God, teach us. Teach us as only You can to listen to that still, small voice. That little whispering voice You use many times. Yes, sometimes You shout at us. Sometimes You shake us with Your fist. Sometimes You're in that still, small voice. Teach us to listen to Your Word. Teach us to listen to Your calling. But most of all, Father God, teach us to be obedient. Teach us to be obedient to each and everything You call us to do. Whether it be the written word, the spoken word, or that little whispered word that You give us. Teach us to be obedient. Father God, during this time, we reflect and we reflect heavily on our brother Jesus Christ who died and went to Calvary for us. May we be worthy of what He died for. Father God, we thank You, we praise You, and we love You. As we go out there this week, look after us, guide us, protect us, show us the path that You would have us to go down. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to remind you that we are showing the Passion of the Christ this evening at 5 o'clock.